In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brethren, St. Paul tells us in his epistle to the Romans, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him. We hear a lot today in our culture about Christian morality. And unfortunately, often Christian morality, if we listen to what people are saying, sounds a lot like the teaching, the gospel, so to speak, of the Pharisees, about different kinds of works and different kinds of traditions that are kept by many different Christians. But if there is a good summation of authentic Christian morality and authentic Christian spirituality, it can be summed up here in what St. Paul says to us, and it's something that is extremely unique to the Christian tradition, at least to the broader Judeo-Christian tradition, that we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to edify him. This is the basis of Christian, again, morality and spirituality. I have heard many times people speaking about it. It's very common now as we have more and more people in our society who identify not as Christians, but who identify as atheists or who identify as agnostics or so forth, talk about this question, then how are you moral or how do you get your morality? And many of these people correctly point out that they can live a moral life without religion, without being a Christian. That much, I believe, is indisputable. A person can live a moral life if a person lives a moral life. It doesn't matter what their faith, it doesn't matter what their religion or anything. We hear St. Paul talk about this earlier, in fact, in the book of Romans. We heard it a couple of weeks ago, where he talks about how some of the Gentiles who did not have the Mosaic law still lived as though they had the Mosaic law, and that they would pass through the judgment because they had lived even unwittingly. They had lived in obedience to God's command because they had what we all have, which is a conscience that God has given us. We hear about it in that famous reading from Matthew 25 on Judgment Sunday, where we hear that some people say to Christ, after they took care of those who were poor, after they fed those who had no food, gave drink to those who had nothing to drink, who gave food to those without clothing, they said, when did we do this? When did we do this, Christ? When did we give to you? And he says, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. They did so unwittingly. That said, people who believe such a thing, that they can live a moral life without Christianity and so forth, they don't understand that in fact it's irrational the way that they're living, that perhaps they do live a moral life. Perhaps they do these things that the Judeo-Christian values teach us, that our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us. But they do so, if they do so on any other basis besides this, in an irrational manner, certainly if they claim to be atheist. Because if we believe and know God and we believe that nature just exists, there is what there is and so forth, there are the laws of nature and so forth, then it would only make rational sense that we would live according to the laws of nature. And we see the laws of nature, which are rather brutal. We certainly don't see in the laws of nature that those of us who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. In fact, for most of human history, This idea, this proposition that Paul makes here was thought to be complete insanity, to be crazy. If someone was weak, they held back the group, they held back the tribe, you let them go. I was shocked, actually, to hear of the situation that has been going on the last couple of years in China, because I thought, I guess incorrectly, that in that culture they respected their elders, and to some degree that's true. But I found out that many of the people in their nursing homes, many of their elderly, were not given the COVID vaccine so that the virus would rip through that community and would kill off the weak. And people who were, you know, for lack of a better word, sucking off the system, sucking money from the system, and not putting anything back in, as people who are able-bodied and who work, and to us who have been informed and have been taught by our Lord Jesus Christ, by his apostle St. Paul, find that to be unthinkable, because we have heard again and again this teaching of St. Paul that we who are strong ought to bear with those who are weak. And we hear this stress time and time and time again in our scripture readings. And so, brothers and sisters, people who have no basis in trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, in trusting in his words and in his gospel message, to live according to that way seem to me to be irrational, because that's certainly not the way that the laws of nature work. Yet at the same time, we Christians are often irrational, if we think about it, because we hear these words and we're taught this message, and yet we often do not live according to that message. And so many people in our society point to this fact that there are several of us Christians who do not live up to the morality and the teaching of Scripture that we hear today. And so, brothers and sisters, we ought to be reminded today that we as Christians, if we are to be rational Christians, thinking Christians, should live according to the way that our Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to live. Because we believe, as we will confess here soon in the Nicene Creed, that it's on this basis that we will stand, all of us, before the judgment seat when Christ comes again for that functional purpose, to judge the living and the dead. And so we ought to make sure that we are, who are strong, bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves, as St. Paul says. Meaning, on the one hand, that we don't just live our life in a way that's pleasing to us, the way that we want to live, but that we would stop and think and be deliberate about the way that we live. But also, one way to interpret this is, even in taking care of those who are weak, we do so in a way not to please ourselves. In other words, not to pat ourselves on the back, not to show off our works and to say how good we are, or to do things in front of others so that they might think highly of us. But that we would truly take care of those who are weak, that we would please God. And we do this for a very specific reason. And St. Paul says it right here in the next sentence. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach thee fell on me. And so the only reason that we live life this way, that we should live life this way, is it's because Christ himself, our example, lived this way. Today, brothers and sisters, throughout the Orthodox churches in this land of North America, we remember our prison ministry, Orthodox Christian prison ministry. Many of you, I'm sure, saw the collection tray that we have at the back. If you would like to make a contribution, would be wonderful. Better yet, I hope that people will use the link that I send in the email, and perhaps it's in the bulletin, I can't remember, but nonetheless, it'll be in my weekly email, so that Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry can put you on their email list when you make a donation, and so that you would be updated and you would find out important things about this ministry. I bring this up not just because this Sunday the Assembly of Bishops asks that we give our alms to Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry, but also because of this scripture reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, that we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. I cannot think of people who are more weak than many of our brothers and sisters who are in prison. You know, I didn't realize this until I went and did my volunteer training to go into prison, but one of the things that they talk to you about is a prison rape law, and I thought, that's an odd thing to be talking about here, you know, at our volunteer training. What do you mean? Well, they talk to us about this because when you go into a prison as a volunteer, they want you to understand that if anyone was to have any sort of sexual relationship with an inmate, it is considered rape under the law. Why? Because the prisoners don't have a will. They cannot give consent. They're wards of the state. Again, they don't have a will. How can you be more weak than to not be given a will, not be given decisions to make, but to be told what to do and when to do it all of the time? It's a difficult life for our brothers and sisters in Christ in prison. And yes, we could be like the Pharisees, and we could be like many people in our society, even sometimes many Christians. And in our minds, we might think, well, they deserved it. They shouldn't have, they didn't want to be there, they shouldn't have committed the crime. Brothers and sisters, that's easy for us to say after the fact. And it's easy for us to say when we have not lived the life of so many of those inmates and experienced the difficulties that some of them have had to try to overcome. But our role as Christians is not to be judgmental of the inmates. It's not to condemn the inmates. Our job is to minister to them, to bear with any failings that they might have had. Why? Because Christ dealt with and put up with our failings. One way that we can do that is by supporting Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry. As many of you know, I minister to several inmates. We have someone with us today who will speak to us, who himself is a former inmate, who I ministered to for several years, and thank God has been attending our parish now for over 3 years since he's been out of jail. We have another man who's scheduled to be out, God willing, next year about this time, and he has plans to join our community as well. And I'm thankful that Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry supports and also, as I said in the email, supplements my ministry, because I can't do everything. I have other people to take care of as well. But Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry dedicates themselves, has a dedicated staff, to make sure that every inmate who wants to hear about the light of Christ, who wants to hear about the redemption that can be found in our Lord Jesus Christ, is able to hear that. That every inmate who wants to correspond with an Orthodox Christian receives correspondence. And believe me, as I'm sure you'll hear later today, this is something that every inmate looks forward to. When I'm able to come visit, when they receive mail, something that's so simple for us, something that we take for granted means the world to them. And more than anything, what we can do by supporting prison ministry, and I hope in addition to giving your alms, some of you will talk about how you might get involved, how you might correspond with inmates, how some of you might even be volunteers to go with me to visit some of these inmates. The best thing that we can give them, the best thing that I believe we can give any human being, is hope. Hope in a better tomorrow. Hope for the future. Every time that I talk to this inmate that's going to be out next year, he brings up his release date, when he's going to be out, when he's going to be here and meet people face to face. He sees our pictures when he receives the scroll, but he wants to see us face to face. And he has hope, a reasonable hope, not an irrational hope, But he has a hope because of what has happened already. What he's seen happen in this community, what he's seen happen with prison ministry among us Orthodox. He has hope that when he arrives here, he will be loved, he will be respected, he will not be judged, but he will be welcomed into our community. And there's nothing better that we can give these men and women who find themselves incarcerated. So brothers and sisters, as we commemorate the day, as we remember in our alms and in our prayers, and hopefully also in our actions, the Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry, let us be reminded of these words of St. Paul that we heard today, brethren. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, because Christ himself deals with our own weaknesses and our own failings. To him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.